This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, my name's Neil. I'm an OTI member. Most of my adult life, I've been sober curious or looking to go AF or doing stints of going alcohol free, but they would never stick. I think the reason they didn't stick was because there was lack of community or peer support. So once I found out about OTI and the community, I had to join straight away. Joining the OTI community has been the best alcohol free decision I've ever made. It's such a fun, safe space to share your alcohol-free wins. There's always someone to give advice or celebrate with you. So if you're sober curious, come and join the fun at OTI. You won't regret it. It's a game changer.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
1, 2, 1, 2. Recording. Right, I'm recording my end. We're recording the Zoom back up.
I'm recording on my end.
Are you recording your end? Are we doing this without Ben? Is this actually a thing?
It's like the training wheels are off, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Welcome to a rather special episode of Over the Influence. If you are tuning in for the first time, if you have never downloaded us before, and this is the first time, welcome. We are here to pop your OTI cherry, or something like that. My name is Sharon Hartley. You can call me Shaz, call me Shazza. I no longer drink. I've just been chatting to Freddie, actually, a little bit about our drinking days, and it makes for interesting listening. I shan't digress. I won't go down that path. I stopped drinking 3 months ago. I was a daily drinker, used to ramp it up at weekends, and I just thought, you know what, there's got to be another way. Just needed a bit of a break, fancied a change, and that was more than 3 years ago, and it has been just incredible. So many amazing things have happened. One of the best being this podcast. Who'd have thunk that rewind three and a half years-ish, I'd be sitting here now singing about sobriety with my tanned co-host who is in the future. He's in New Zealand. Hello, Freddie. This feels really weird. It's only Freddie I'm getting to introduce today.
It's only Freddie. Hello, everybody. It's only Freddie. Sharon Hartley, you little heartbreaker, but I am so happy to be here. So not so long ago, my life was very different. I used to be heavy drinking, heavy partying, go hard, go home, all or nothing. All of these silly phrases that we say to ourselves. And that meant that even though I was having a good time on the outside, on the inside, I was getting more stressed, more depressed, more unhappy, more upset than my life was out of control. So I stopped drinking alcohol, took control of my life, ran into the world record books, did some crazy travelling, was able to be part of this wonderful, wonderful world's number one alcohol-free podcast. And I'm very excited about this very special and very weird episode.
It's really weird. I don't know if I feel entirely comfortable, because normally at this point, Freddie, I would say it's not just me. We've got Freddie in New Zealand, and of course, we've got our producer background, Ben. And at this point, sensible Mr. Ben would come in, introduce himself, tell us a bit about himself. But he's not here,
so this
could go one of two ways. It could all go horribly wrong, and the wheels fall off. Or like a pair of grown-ups, like a pair of sober grown-ups we are, Freddie. We can do this together and impress Ben.
We can do this, can't we? And it's almost, I mean, yeah, I think Ben's terrified right now, because probably for two reasons. One, because he's worried this is going to turn into an absolute shit show. But like, then what happens if this is the best episode ever?
Yeah.
And you know, this is the episode that means Spotify calls up and they're like, hey, guys, here's a wheelbarrow full of money. Just take it. Just take
it,
our
it
money.
It could happen.
Be like the sober Joe and Josephina Rogan.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I can picture Ben's face right now. In fact, actually, normally, as I said, Ben would introduce himself at this point. So I'm going to sort of mention Ben. And Freddie, while he's not here, because he's not great at bigging himself up, is he? And he doesn't really like singing too much about himself on social media. We sometimes do that on his behalf. I think I will give a brief background as to our producer, Ben, who's not with us on this episode today. And then we can talk about his journey, 500 days alcohol free, which is remarkable. So just to give you a bit of background as to our relationship and as to how the three of us know each other. Myself and Freddie go back 2.5, 3 years, something like that. We met online in an alcohol-free group, clicked from the start, no idea why, we just did. And we sang about sobriety and here we still are. And then Freddie knew lovely Ben, who happened to be a podcast producer. But at the time when we all first got together, Ben was a drinker, wasn't he, Freddie?
Yeah.
He enjoyed the beers. He said it himself. He drank for fun during his 20s. He drank more during his 30s to deal with the stress of work, high-profile job, and then redundancy. And then what happened, he spent that much time in our company. He thought, you know what? I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to try alcohol-free life. And before we get into that, this episode really reminds me of me and you with producer Ben sitting there quite quietly, literally in the background, pressing the buttons, and me and you going, hello, my name's Sharon. Welcome to Over the Influence. Don't drink anymore, and it's dead good. Freddie, you are?
Well, this is why I'm really excited about this episode, because it really is, it's like going right back to the start. It's an origins story. So this would have been February 2020. It was just before COVID really kicked off. And when I was living in Liverpool, and like you all came around to my house, didn't you? And it was like,
we did. I put a shirt on and everything.
I was the one that knew you both. And thinking back now, in my kitchen, hello, my name is Sharon. I work at the BBC, you know. And then Ben was like, hello, my name is Benjamin. I work at the radio. And I made a coffee while you two were like, oh, do you know David from the radio? Oh, I know David, yes. And do you know Bob from the radio? Oh, I know Bob. And I like, oh, and like a radio chat. And I was like, great, this is going to be fun. And, and then we're in my lounge. And yeah, it was just you and me going like, hello, this is a podcast about drinking. And Ben was just in the background going like, or can we fade up your level, Shazza? And can we adjust your nubbin, Freddie? And and all these sorts of things. And we that's how it began. So it's almost a bit like that. But now, and that just goes to show how quickly your life can change. I mean, so that's not even 2 years ago. You know, it's what, 600 days ago-ish, should we say. From that, I guess we would have both, you and me would have both been over a year alcohol free.
Yeah, definitely. Because we didn't want to do a podcast until we had a proper great big chunk of sobriety behind us, did we?
But then, so what, 600 days ago, we started this and we didn't know what was going to happen. We just said, look, let's talk about sobriety. And now here we are, say less than 2 years later. I'm saying it, Ben's not here. World's number one alcohol-free podcast. Definitely, without a doubt, the world's greatest alcohol-free podcast. We've got the amazing, world's most wonderful, most powerful sober social network with all our wonderful Over the Influence members going from strength to strength. They're loving the community. It's doing amazing things. It's literally changing lives. And it all just started from you and me having a chat just like this. That is the power of going alcohol free. That is how crazy shit can get in a good way. And that's how much your life can change.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. If we'd have had a crystal ball back then, Freddie, when we met in those really early days and somebody had said, you'll still be alcohol free. You'll still be choosing not to drink. You'll be co-hosting this fabulous, fabulous podcast. You'll have an alcohol free community. I would not have believed it. But as we keep saying throughout the course of the episodes, stop drinking and amazing shit starts to happen. Not overnight. Mm. It all takes time. You know, I'm a big fan of sort of reminding people that you can't undo 10, 15, 20, 30 years of drinking overnight. It does take time. But you think back to those earlier episodes. We did the first series, myself and you chatting about sobriety and becoming more confident with it. And then the podcast started growing. And then Ben's journey, which I'll talk about in just a sec, which is it epitomises alcohol-free life, Ben's journey. It is so important. But then we went into series two and we started to get these really big guests. You know, the authors in the Quitlit world, the big authors. We're talking William Porter, we're talking Andy Ramage, Craig Beck, Susan Laurie, Claire Pooley, and then some. And the influencers, and also that the people that have got their amazing stories of recovery to share, of life-changing stories to share, and it just keeps getting better and better and better. But aside from all that, hidden within all this is Ben's story, which because he's not here, I think we can remind people why he's now alcohol-free, how he did it, and the proof, the absolute proof is how it has worked. Is just go back and listen to series one, episode one from the start. You don't hear much of Ben because he's in the background.
No.
He was our producer and he was drinking beers. We weren't in the least bit bothered. But we kept coming back week after week. He kept editing the podcast. And there's a point, I think, in series one where he goes, right, okay, guys, I'm just gonna try this for 30 days. And me and you were like, you know what, Ben? That is amazing. No goal set. We didn't say, oh, you need to go for 365. You need to do this. We just said, that's brilliant. We're really, really chuffed for you. And that is where it began. And it's been so organic.
Definitely. And I think it's, I mean, this could be the opportunity to big ourselves up, couldn't it? And we could say, oh, we have to take responsibility for it. And yeah, it was dripping. And we were coming in Ben's ears every single week and dripping in there. And that he finally changed. But the truth is, we can't take any credit, really. It's all down to Ben and his amazing commitment. But the important thing is, Ben decided to do it. And Ben thought, you know what, I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to see what happens. And as Ben always says, he didn't hit a rock bottom. It wasn't like he did a Freddy on a night out and woke up in a different country with guns pointed at him or anything like that. That's a different story for a different podcast. But yeah,
I think that's just actually a premium podcast episode that only community members get to listen to.
Yes.
So we'll move on.
but Ben, yeah, he just said, look, I'm going to see what I'm capable of. I'm going to take a break from alcohol and see what happens. But it was his decision. It was the right time for him. It wasn't his lovely girlfriend, Gemma, going, you need to stop drinking or anything like that. She doesn't speak like that. She's lovely. And yeah, it wasn't you and me saying, you need to stop drinking, Ben. No.
Yeah.
It was purely him saying, you know what? Now's the time. Let's do this. And he did it. And he's just shot off like a rocket. And it's just been amazing to see.
It makes me feel like a bit of a proud auntie and you a proud uncle.
I know.
Uncle Freddie and Auntie Shaz.
It's crazy, isn't it? Because he's quite a lot younger than both of us. But
yes, he is. he's got a very mature head. Very mature head.
He does. Definitely.
Yeah, and that's how it started. He made the decision. No rock bottom. He thought, I'm just going to try this. And again, go back to the early episodes and you will hear for yourself Ben's journey unfold, documented week in, week out. And he got to 30 days. He thought, I'm going to do 60. I'm going to do 90. I'm going to do 365. And he's just hit 500 days, which is freaking marvellous. He's had an alcohol-free Christmas. He's done the alcohol-free birthday. He's done an alcohol-free holiday. His business is booming. His hair is glossy as his skin. He has his odd breakout with his skin. He goes a bit teenagery every now and again. But I think that's to do with work stress. There is not one aspect of Ben's life that hasn't improved. And for us to witness that as these two clowns that met him for the first time, you know, 18 months, 2 years ago, it's been absolutely glorious. So Ben, big up yourself.
Well done, Ben. I feel like I literally have witnessed your second coming and it's been an amazing sight.
He's going to love editing this, isn't he? He's going to really enjoy editing this. So yeah, while Ben isn't here, we can big him up, celebrate his 500 days, which we've mentioned, I think, before in the past anyway, but it does deserve mentioning again. And if you are listening for the first time, and you're sober curious, I implore you to go back and listen to our earlier episodes. Don't judge myself and Freddie so much with our presentation style. You know, it's been a work in progress, hasn't it, Freddie?
But it certainly has been.
We're getting there. And it's glorious. And we love doing it. And we love sharing our stories. And in this case, we want you to hear Ben's story from the beginning. So fill your boots. So Ben is over 500 days alcohol-free. I am 3 years, 3 months alcohol-free. And Freddie, by the time this episode goes out, you'll be in quadruple figures, young Freddie.
I will be in the one comma club because I hit 1,000 days as we, you know, we're recording on what, well, for me, Thursday the 2nd. So wherever you are in the world, on last Friday was when I hit 1,000 days, which is crazy. It feels like I've been talking about hitting 1,000 days for a long, long time. So it's good. Yeah, assuming I make it, like, you know, I've still got 24 hours to go, but
there's something inside me that tells me, I think you'll be all right.
I'd like to bet on myself for this one. And so 1,000 days. Who would have thought it?
You see, you wouldn't have thought it. When I started out, I wouldn't have thought it with myself. Mm. Because when you are in those really, really early days and you've done week one and you've done week two, and actually you're like, okay, I've hit 30 days now. When you look ahead in the sober community online and at Insta accounts and other people's day counts, I could not get my head around how somebody could be at 1,000 days, because I thought that's forever away. And yet here we are. Does it seem to you, Freddie, that it literally seems 5 minutes ago?
It does. Like, just as you were talking, I was thinking, like, I remember it so clearly, mainly because I was hungover to hell. that rock bottom moment when I was like, no more. I refuse to tolerate this life anymore. And that was what really got me. I remember it was 8th of March, 2019, it must have been. And I honestly remember it like it was yesterday. And yeah, that... Because we've all, and I'd had those moments so many times when I'd woken up and been like, no more, excuse my language. Well, I was like, fuck this shit. I cannot do this to myself anymore. You know, and you look at yourself in the mirror and you have the hangover and you're like, I've got to change. Freddie, you can't do this to yourself. You're being stupid. All these things. But then the next weekend, I'd drink again. And then you'd be on that cycle where you're like, oh, actually, I was just feeling sorry for myself. I was just hungover, blah, blah, blah. I'm fine. I'm just going to have a drink. And then you're okay for a little while. And then you do something else stupid and you get out of control and you get in that cycle. And I just remember thinking, and I'd see all those people with a year alcohol-free, 2 years alcohol-free, just like you were saying, Shazza. I thought, I can't do this. What's wrong with me that I can't get this? And as I've said in the podcast before, that time on the 8th of March when I thought I have to do this properly, for me, it couldn't be about quitting alcohol anymore. It wasn't about stopping drinking. It was about starting living. And that's what I still tell myself every day. And I think I mentioned it on the premium pod recording we did earlier this week. It's funny, with 1,000 days coming up, I've had the strongest urge to drink. Like this last couple of weeks, like I've really wanted to go and get properly messed up. And I think for me, it's not even about the alcohol side of it. It's that, and I'm sure people listening to this might be able to relate, I crave chaos. And that part of me, that dark part of me, really wants to hit the self-destruct button. And even though all these amazing things have happened, and overall, my life is really good right now, and I'm here in New Zealand, and the podcast success and everything, that tiny part of me just wants to burn it all and just wants to say, I could just have a drink now and I could hit the self-destruct button and I could turn my life back into chaos. And that tiny part of me wants it to happen, which is probably a chat for like a psychologist or something. But that's, again, something for another day. But thinking back to those first days, and I remember like the first weekend I was helping out at my kid's school and they were like, oh, it's Freddie. Freddie's here. Freddie, don't worry. I've got you on the bar. Because obviously at like a 6-year-old school disco, you've got to have a bar, haven't you?
Of course. Yeah.
Are they, you know, it's the sort of thing when, yeah, your reputation precedes you, so you walk into the school hall and all the other parents are like, Hooray! Freddy's here! The party started! Hooray! Oh, yeah, it was Liverpool, so it's more like, hey, Freddy's here! The party started! Get behind the bar, our Fred! That was a Liverpoolian accent, by the way, everybody.
I'm glad you clarified. Thank you, Freddy.
Not the Wicked Witch of the West. And yeah, they were like, ah, you're behind the bar, son. Help yourself. And I just remember, shit, like, I must have been like on day two or day three. And I'm literally there surrounded, like tables set up around me, like sort of like school hall sort of thing, with literally cans and bottles of wine surrounding me. And they were like, make sure you help yourself, Freddy. Have one. And it almost, and you know, I talk about like the universe and you know, the all this kind of like woo-woo stuff that, you know, I'm into. And I just thought, I'm being tested here. And there's a saying that I didn't hear until recently, but it's very relevant to this. And it's not like a religious saying, so don't go off on it, but it sounds a bit religious. And the saying is something along the lines of, when you're on the right path, the devil tries to pull you off that path. And that's what it felt to me. Like, I was just thinking, I've tried to put myself on this path, and immediately the universe has said to me, like, how badly do you want this? Like, how... They might as well have tried to waterboard me with like Stella or something, or with Sauvignon Blanc. Like that's how difficult it was, surrounded by these cans. I can just remember it now. I had like hundreds of cans of beer around me and people saying, have one for free. Make sure you have one. Have you had one yet? And it was so easy to have one. And I think we all face these different crossroads in life. And it's that moment when you say, am I going to do what I've always done and make the, not the wrong decision, but am I going to make the same decision every time? Or am I going to start making a different decision? And on that Friday, I thought, you know what, I'm going to make a different decision. And then I got through that weekend. And then a few days later, I'd done my first week. And then I got through another weekend. And like I said, I've had the weddings and the holidays and the birthdays and the Christmases. And I don't know, I still think... I don't know when the urge to drink will go away, if it will ever go away. Like I say, I could have happily got properly messed up. I could have done like a 2015 Freddy job on myself these last few weeks, but I haven't, because every day we face these decisions and these challenges about, am I going to stay on my path, or am I going to let the world win? Am I going to let the devil win, if that's what you believe in? Am I going to let the, you know, am I going to not get what I deserve? And I believe we could all choose that life less ordinary. We could all choose that life that we deserve. And this is the moment that anyone, and we have to keep taking these moments when we say, no, I'm going to choose me. I'm going to choose life, and I'm going to see what I'm truly, truly capable of. And that might be the longest answer ever. Didn't you say something like, can you remember those first days?
I can't remember. It was that long ago when I asked the question, yeah, Freddie. I've forgotten.
And then it's a classic. See, without Ben here, you can have like some classic Freddie over the influence rants where I can just go off on one for 5 minutes.
I love it. I've missed a classic Freddie rant. I really have. But what you were saying there, it's that simple. It's that simple. It's that easy. That's all you have to do is not drink. And yet, in the same breath, it's the hardest thing as well, isn't it? Because the easiest thing to do is just to pick up a drink and go, oh fuck it. That's balls to it. I'm not doing it. To choose not to drink every day, and to choose yourself every day, and to choose to do it differently. It is really simple, but it can be so, so difficult. And those voices, you know, I mean, correct me if I'm speaking out of turn. You know, you say that you consider him. Well, it's just something in your head.
Yeah,
thinking about drinking. It's not an urge to drink, is it? It's not like a physical urge.
Yeah, like I'm not kind of like having to lock myself away, and yeah, we've got like bottles of gin in the house and wine and all sorts. And yeah, I'm not kind of like doing a scene from Trainspotting where I'm kind of like scrabbling at the walls or anything. But like I say, it's just that thought that comes into your head sometimes.
Crazy
it catches
voice.
You, yeah.
Yeah, it just appears from nowhere. It's bizarre. But again, all we need to keep doing is playing it forward every single time. Because a thousand days down the line, I dread to think what your hangover would be like. It'd be the stuff of nightmares. Yeah. And who wants to go there again?
I know, exactly. I know with me being me and with many people thinking the same, if I went for it, I'd probably go for it as well. You wouldn't just be like, oh, I'll have a little half glass. I'd have that, and they'd be like, well, I've fucked it up now, haven't I? So I might as well be like, yeah. All aboard the drunk train, fun time Freddy's back again. Oh. And then, yeah, I would have probably just been thrown out of the country or something.
I never want to meet fun time Freddy. I've never met him. I don't know who he is. I like this fun time Freddy.
Oh, thank
I've
you.
Only ever known the sober you, and it's the same with Ben. He's only ever known the sober you.
It's true. Like I was just thinking, talking about Ben, if me and Ben had ever got drunk together, and no, we haven't, because I can't remember if I was still drinking when I first met Ben, but so I know I've been on nights out with Ben and he's been drinking and I haven't been, but I don't think we've ever, yeah, I don't think he's ever met drunk Freddy either, but
which is a great thing.
Yeah, because we would have been a nightmare in Liverpool together, because Ben keeps saying Liverpool's the kind of town where you can find any kind of party you want is a phone call away. So yeah. So I think we would have been a bit crazy. But no, I think we're all better as we are. And because I think I like to give back on this podcast, and with my rants, I like to give some edutainment. I think that's always something that people can keep in mind, because I know what it's like on those early days, or in those not so early days, when you try to change your life, and then you have these situations come up where the friend comes round with a bottle of wine, or you've had a shitty day and all of a sudden, like, you find yourself in a pub or something like that. Why not think about it a different way? Why not, instead of thinking, ah, this is horrible, this is a nightmare, I'm being tempted, blah, blah, blah. Why not think to yourself, maybe the universe is testing here. Maybe I'm on the right path and the universe is just saying to me, how badly do you want this? Think of it like a test, and you know you can pass this test. And I don't want to go too into, like, you know, my spiritual universe and rule of attraction and everything else. But, you know, personally, I do believe it. And I think when we are on the right path, nothing in life is easy. This is amazing, brave, life-changing stuff that you're doing. Do you think it's really going to be easy? Do you think the universe is going to say, I'm going to give you everything you've ever dreamed of? Here you go, just take it. Of course you're going to be challenged. Of course you're going to go through tough times. It's one thing that I do love, which is the hero's journey. And if anyone isn't familiar with this concept, then please Google it, because Google will explain it a lot better than I can. But the hero's journey is how any... And sorry, Shaz, I'm going off on one now. So you've got me started, so I'm going to keep on doing this.
Please carry on, Freddie.
So the hero's journey, I think we can all relate to with sobriety. And I can't remember who created the hero's journey. Someone did. Google it. But it's basically it's a story of and it's a story that many of all of our favourite stories are based on. So the hero is someone who, you know, didn't go out to be a hero. They just live an everyday life doing their things, and then something happens that they get an awakening. And they need to go on this quest, on this journey. And they don't really want to go on it because they don't think they're capable enough. They don't think they're brave enough. They don't think they're good enough. But someone or something says, you have to go on this journey. And they go on this, they start this journey, and they don't want to do it. And they go through trials and tribulations, and they go through tough times, and they're challenged, and they almost fail. But they come out of this journey victorious on the other side. And it's the same, it's the concept that Star Wars is based on. Yeah, Luke Skywalker is the hero in the hero's journey. Lord of the Rings, you know, my cousin Frodo Baggins, it's the same thing. All the Marvel movies, it's usually always this reluctant hero who is destined for great things but doesn't want to start this journey. That is you, dear listener. Every single person who wants to change their relationship with alcohol is about to embark on this hero's journey or this heroine's journey. And that's what it is. And like with any of these journeys, it's never going to be easy. Of course it isn't going to be bloody. That's why we relate to these stories like the Marvels and the Lord of the Rings and the Star Warses and everything else. And the Harry Potter is another one. That's why we love these stories, because they're so relatable. Because nothing worth having is ever easy. You're going to face the monsters and the demons and the Darth Vaders and the pitfalls and the dragons and everything else. That's how it's supposed to go. So rather than saying, I can't do this, say, I am a bloody hero. I am going to go on this bloody journey. And you are a wizard, Harry, Shazza, Bob, Dave, dear listener, you are a bloody wizard. You can make this happen. You can get the sober magic. So don't fear the darkness. Embrace it and carry on your journey. Oh, this is like the old days, Shaz. I'm really off on one today.
I'm loving this.
I crawled out of bed an hour ago, and now I'm properly firing on all cylinders.
The caffeine's kicked in. He's done two rants already in one episode. Have we got time for a third? We will have to wait and see. Freddie, I love it. Freddie, I'm really excited about Christmas. I get excited really, really easily. And we've been talking a bit about how it all changes, how you can't visualise what it will be like in 1 year's time, 2 years' time, 3 years' time. Because, you know, I think people need to be reminded that we never set out to become completely alcohol free. Ben was taking a break. You were taking a break. I was taking a break. And yet here we are, 500 days, 1,000 days, 3 years plus. It just keeps getting better and better and better. And I want to talk about Christmas because I started my alcohol-free journey back in 2018. It was the September. So September, October, November. So I was about 3 months in approaching my first Christmas alcohol-free. Of course, there was no COVID then, no restrictions. So it was party season. And I'm thinking, oh, right, okay, how do we do this? How do we do Christmas booze-free? But the one thing I said from the very, very start of my alcohol-free journey, see how many times I can say the word journey on this podcast? I hate that word, but it's so appropriate. I said to myself, for the duration of my break, I will not drink alcohol. So I know that I'm not sort of sounding like a bit of a dick here. It was, I will not drink alcohol. There was no, I'll just have a shandy. Okay, I'll just have a glass of Prosecco on a Saturday night. I'll just this, I'll just that. No bullshit, no excuses. My promise to myself was zero alcohol. And that is how I navigated my first Christmas. I did things differently. I didn't say yes to every single party invite. Although I do remember my first alcohol-free December 2018, I was invited on a pub crawl locally, and I really wanted to prove to myself that I could do it sober. So it was a fancy dress pub crawl, got dressed up. I think I had about bloody 8 Heineken Zeros, and I thoroughly enjoyed myself. And then I thought, hang on a minute, I don't need to prove anything to anybody. You know, I didn't need to go on a pub crawl, but I sort of had to get it out of my system to prove that I could do it if I so wished. And then fast forward to Christmas with the family, you know, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And in the past, Christmas Eve would have been boozy. Every day in December would have been boozy. But again, that pledge to myself, I am not drinking alcohol. It sounds really, really simple. But I think once you've made that commitment not to drink for however long you choose, that is when things begin to change and you do it differently. And you get in your alcohol-free fizz. You say no to certain invites. You pick and choose what you want to do socially. The best place to be probably isn't a pub crawl around town. You know what I mean? But you can remove yourself early. Get a plan in place. And I can guarantee it'll be different your first alcohol-free Christmas. But for me, it was one of the most memorable and the most enjoyable. And now I'm on my fourth alcohol-free Christmas. I cannot wait. I'm so looking forward to it, to getting up early and not feeling like dog shit, to going to bed and sleeping properly rather than passing out, and just doing lovely things and not one second of Christmas wasted to drinking, thinking about drinking, deciding what I'm drinking, recovering from drinking, and then starting again drinking. I just can't wait, Freddie. And it just shows that give it time and everything changes. It really does. I know some people might be listening to this now thinking, I just can't visualise it. I just can't imagine. But if you do not drink and then repeat, do not drink again, it gets better, it gets easier, and everything changes. I can't wait. Really, really excited. Head sweater and the Christmas jumper.
I love the jumper. I think I remember, yeah, certainly my first two Christmases, they were tough. And I think for me, the biggest danger with Christmas is, I think if anyone's, you know, they're wanting to not drink over Christmas, you can kind of psych yourself up for it and say, right, I'm going to do it. The pitfall, or at least it was for me, was I'm just going to have one. Like you're in a bar and all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, I'm just going to have one. It's Christmas. I'm just going to have one. And it's just that one. And then it all unravels. But I think you're totally right, Shazza. Get your plans in place. Do you really need to go on that massive piss up? It's like if you hang around at a hairdresser's, you're going to get a haircut. Do you really need to go out with those people every time during Christmas, who you know they're your favourite people for getting drunk with? You can still see them. Why not see them for a coffee? Why not see them for a walk? It doesn't... I'll be all worried that, oh, they're not going to be my friends anymore and I'm going to look stupid, I'm going to look boring. If they really say that, then they're not your friends. And I know that sounds a bit corny, but it's true. Shazza, I know how tough Christmas can be when it comes to alcohol, and a lot of people don't have a great Christmas overall for all sorts of reasons. But how good did it feel on that first Christmas, say on, you know, the 26th, 27th of December, when you woke up and you were like, oh, I did it, I got through Christmas? Like, did it feel amazing?
It felt amazing, and I felt really, really proud. And over time, it just showed to me, one of the things I used to panic about massively before I stopped drinking was, would anything on this planet ever be fun again? Would I be able to make people laugh if I wasn't a drunken dick? Would I still enjoy socialising? Would Christmas be fun? Oh my God. I think that was the thing for me. It was amazing, and it did feel amazing. And to do it all with a clear head was just incredible. But what I really, really enjoyed was laughing without booze. And so at the risk of sounding a complete knob, it was genuine laughter with my family, proper belly laughter, tears rolling down my face. And I thought, oh crikey, oh my God, yes. Life actually is still fun without booze. Mm. And then, you know, the more time went on, the more you realise that you're just so conditioned to thinking you can't do F all without a skinful, without Prince before you go out, without a bottle of wine followed by all the vodka and Red Bull. You know, you couldn't possibly exist like that. How is life fun? It was more fun than ever and continues to be so. And it is like living life in HD, in glorious Technicolor. And it just, yeah, it was amazing. I think the best thing is waking up in the morning, be it on Christmas Day or on Boxing Day or whatever day in that weird week, that no man's land of a week between Christmas and New Year, when in the past, you know, it's like, oh, what is it to do? I know, I'll drink. Waking up on those mornings feeling fresh as a daisy, like, here we go again. And the days just lasted forever. Yeah, it's just, it's wonderful. But in order to do it, no half-assed measures. You can't do it half-assed. Nope. You've got to commit and say, you know what? No, I am not drinking for X amount of time. Give yourself a chance and you may well be blown away by the results.
And I think for anyone that's just starting out, look, it's one Christmas. We've never said on this podcast that you need to quit forever and alcohol is evil and all those things. And this is the sober path forever. It's just one Christmas. Like, seriously, if life should go that way, then who knows what next Christmas will bring. But just give yourself this shot this year. Give yourself the gift of being fully present. Do it for yourself. Do it for your family. Do it for your kids. Do it for your friends. It doesn't matter who you do it for, but ideally do it for yourself. But
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but it is amazing. Even if you can just do it to say, yeah, I've done that and I did a sober Christmas. Like, just, I promise you, the feeling that you get, and what, 3 years ago, I would have rolled my eyes and done the whole, like, to this, but it is amazing. No night out is a better feeling than waking up hangover free and just being bloody proud of yourself. Because I think all of us with a drinking past, we've had so many times when we've woken up and felt shame and regret and embarrassment and fear. We've all been there. We've all done that. So why not once, just once, give yourself a present, give yourself that feeling of pride and confidence and feeling great about yourself, because you do bloody deserve it. You are good enough. You are loved enough. You do deserve to have this wonderful, magical, sober Christmas. So go and make it happen.
Absolutely. And I just want to add something on to the back of that. It can be really hard when you care what people think, when you are the party animal, the party starter. Oh, let's invite Shaz. She'll be a lol a minute. It can be really, really difficult knowing how to navigate that. Basically, in a nutshell, and sorry, Ben, for swearing on the pod again, you give zero shits what anybody thinks about your choices. You have to do it for you, like Freddie said. Give yourself a chance, go for it. And who knows, you might have one of the best Christmases ever. We always say, you know, removing booze, it comes with a disclaimer. It doesn't make everything perfect instantly overnight. Of course it doesn't. And for some people, Christmas will still be tough. But adding alcohol into that will never make any of it better. And take it from me, take it from somebody that was utterly panicking about would life still be fun without booze. I have never enjoyed life quite as much, and I've never laughed as much since I removed alcohol. It truly is the gift, Freddie, the Christmas gift that just keeps on giving.
It truly is. And you know what? Something we haven't mentioned, but we will start mentioning more and more. In terms of Christmas gifts that keep on giving, oh my goodness, we have got some amazing things lined up for December.
We have, and it is amazing. And if you do want any further information about what we do, as we said right at the beginning of this pod, go back and fill your boots. Series one, it's basically us starting out. Series two, it is all about the guests, the authors, the big wigs in the Quitlit world. Series three, we started and we never stopped. We went weekly because we've got so much to talk about. The pod is growing and growing and growing. And let's keep singing about sobriety. And go back, like I said, if you've only just joined us, and start off the beginning and follow Ben's journey. It is something else. It really, really is. And we are so super proud of him. We do as well have an online community. We've got free resources on there should you need any further support. We've got some free articles on there for you to have a read about from our community members. We've got a bit of merch, actually. A bit of merch
we do
as well.
Have I mean, a bit of merch.
If you're looking for a gift for a friend that might like a mug. In fact, where's my mug gone? I was just drinking out of it 5 minutes ago. I've lost it. We've got a beautiful Over the Influence mug on there, a few t-shirts. They make amazing stocking fillers. overtheinfluence.co.uk. I hope Ben likes that little bit there, Freddie.
I think he will. I'm sure he's going to love what I'm going to say, because also an amazing stocking filler, but not for kids. If you're looking for some reading material this Christmas, I highly recommend Starting at Zero by Freddie Bennett, available now on Amazon and in all good bookstores.
So who's it by, Freddie? Just give us that
it's
again.
It's by Freddie Bennett. He is the world's number one best-smelling author. So I think that's really good.
Best-smelling?
Best-smelling author.
I love it.
There's so many people out there at the moment love to be, I'm a best-selling author, darling. I'm a best-selling author. And it's amazing how you can game the Amazon best-selling lists to make you sound like a best-selling author. Well, take that world, because I am the world's number one best-smelling author. So there you go. I'm loud and I'm proud and I'm stinking a Tom Ford.
Amazing. Good taste. Very good taste. And for the record, I've read your book twice because I had to proofread it. Ben has also read it, and loads of our community members have read it. And they're saying amazing things about it. Thank you for listening to this very, very super special episode of Over the Influence with the naughty children, Shazza and Freddie.
Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you. Meet Nicola.
Hi guys, my name's Nicola and I am just over 2 years sober. I recently went camping for a week on my own with my daughter. It's not something I would have done whilst drinking because it would have been too hard. It wasn't hard, it was epic. But one thing I did miss was adult conversation with people I know, and Over the Influence it just makes me feel part of something, when sometimes being alcohol free can make you feel like you're on the outside looking in. So thanks for everything you do, Shaz, Ben, Freddie. Even though, Freddie, you're over there enjoying the sunshine. Winter now, though. So thanks for everything you do, guys. It really does help, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk and be part of the Sober Rebellion.